Okay, well, it's just a couple of days ago, it's the Yortzad of Racham HaKadosh. So we're going to take the opportunity, B'siyata D'Shmaya, to discuss Tzadik HaTzadikim, Goyin HaGoyinim. The way that the, not just the Talmid Bashemtov, the Talmid Bashemtov, the tremendous respect which they had towards the Racham HaKadosh, although he wasn't a chassid, but all walks of Yiddishkeit, there is unanimous recognition about the greatness of the Racham HaKadosh, which is something very unique, very rare. As a youngster, his father was a Talmud Chacham. His name was Moshe, and he was named after his grandfather, but as the Sfardim do, they name after the living, and he spent the early part of his life learning Torah from his grandfather, Chaim Ben Attar. And then he married into a mishpacha, which could and did support him for a short time until there was jealousy for the riches of his father-in-law, and there was a mesira which took place, and he lost all of his wealth in Racham HaKadosh. He writes personal accounts in his Sfarim and Hakdamas about the terrible tzaras that he went through. He was thrown in jail for quite amount of time in Morocco, and he lived at some portion of his life in Egypt, and then he was away to Italy until finally making his way to Eretz Yisrael.
When did he live? What age?
He lived in the late 1700s. He was only 47 when he passed away. And as we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem, beautiful stories, beautiful descriptions which Tzadikim had of him. He says about his grandfather. He writes in his Akhtama to his Sefer Chifetz Hashem, Chesed Hashem Alai, tremendous chesed, that I was zeichet to a grandfather, to my father, he says, the Chacham HaShalim, Moshe Ben Attar, and Yashafti Lil Moy Torah from Mayri V'Rabi, HaRav Mofors, and Adoini Zekeini Mayri, a chesed v'ha'anav ha'muflag, Reb Chaim Ben Attar, that I drank from his waters, and I grew up between his, in his lap, because of his great piety. Kimat ani oimer shel over lev chatzilana b'sheina afilu leili tamuz. He wouldn't even sleep half a night, and he would wake up in the middle of the night and to do tikkun chatzayis lispud ki isha almana alchomer beis hamikdash b'bechi gadol. He would wake up and he would moan, and he would cry like an almana who had lost her husband every night over the loss of the beis hamikdash. And this is what he grew up with.
He's talking about his grandfather.
Yeah. The Avraham Yaakov from Sadiger, he said the Savrina Rav, his mayach, his mind, had a hashpa on his heart. The Ber Mayim Chayim, he worked on his heart to eliminate his mind. But the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, his mind and his heart were perfect together. That's what he said about it. And other such beautiful shvachim. Rav Mordechai Shraga from Hosiatin, who we spoke about, the son of the Rishner, he said about the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh that he was the Amud HaVoida. He was the pillar of Avoida and Tefillah, but the Racham HaKadosh was the pillar of Torah. Many tzaddikim, they would not complete a Shabbos or go a Shabbos without completing the entire Racham HaKadosh on the Sedra. And this is especially true in the Cheder of Rishon, at least for Rishon, and subsequently in Square, especially it's very much beloved, the parish of the Racham HaKadosh we'll get to in a second. And the reason why that is because the Rishoner once told his son-in-law, Rav David Halpern, that he was getting close to the Chassan. He saw that his son-in-law was learning the Zohar, and he said, why are you learning Zohar? He says, because the Svarim say that Zohar purifies the neshama. He says, what about a person who doesn't have a neshama because of his aveiros? What is he supposed to do? So he didn't know what to say to his father-in-law, his future father-in-law. So he said, the Eitzah is that first he has to learn Racham HaKadosh. Because if he learns Racham, he'll be zeichet to his nefesh, and then to his ruach. And then eventually, when he has his nefesh and ruach, he'll be zeichet to his neshama, and then he can learn Zohar. And the tzaddikim had such special shavach for the Racham HaKadosh that they even equated it not exactly to the Zohar, but they said, and in the same way that the Zohar purifies the neshama, so too the Racham HaKadosh is able to do the same. And from that remark that the Rishoner said about the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it made a lasting impression in that dynasty. We know that he had five Heilige children, from which many streams of Chassidus come from. And so Rabbi Yitzchak from Square, who was the son of the Rishoner, one of his sons, from the time that I was 8 years old, he said, I completed the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on the Parsha. And he says, and he once said, every time he learns it, he finds it always new things and ideas. And he would say that the entire Yahadus, the whole Yiddishkeit, is in this sefer. It's in this sefer. So, for example, from Rishon, like we had mentioned, there's many great Chassidus which come from there. For example, Charkatov. Well, we don't have really Charkatov yesterday much, but Moshe David from Charkatov. David Moshe from Charkatov, who was the son of the Rishoner as well. So he wouldn't go a Shabbos without finishing the entire Or HaChaim HaKadosh on the Sedra. No, Rabbi Yochanan from Rachmas Shikva, which also comes. So Rachmas Shikva actually comes from Chernobyl. But he also would not finish a Shabbos without. And in fact, he wouldn't make Havdalah without finishing the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So there was once where they had to wait hours. He sat and the whole Oilam waited hours for him to do Havdalah because he was finishing Or HaChaim HaKadosh. With David Moshe, we said he wouldn't start Shabbos until he finished the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So Friday night he would do it, and they knew how long it would take him to come to the Tish from how long the Or HaChaim HaKadosh perishes on the parsha. So once they wanted to make a reprint of the Sefer Or HaChaim HaKadosh, so they came to Mordechai Shakar of Masiatin, and they asked him if he would write a Haskama. He said, Haskama on Or HaChaim HaKadosh? He said, I don't understand one word of the Sefer. How can I write a Haskama? There was a year, the Talmud Chacham, he didn't yet have children, and he went to the cave of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he made a neder that if he would be zeichet to a child, he would name him Chaim after him. And he was zeichet to a Ben Zachar. But at that time, his grandfather passed away, and he asked the Belzerov, what should he do about naming the child? Should he name the child? He made a promise, we'd have to name him after Or HaChaim HaKadosh, but should he also include his grandfather's name in naming the baby? So the Belzerov said the Or HaChaim HaKadosh was a malach, and you can't put the two names of a Ben Adam and a Malach together. So you can only call him Chaim. Can't add a Ben Adam's name next to a Malach. He had two encounters with a lion, Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He was once traveling on a wagon, and it was Shabbos, and he didn't want to be on it on Shabbos, so he asked to be dropped off in the Midbar somewhere. And it was a very dangerous atmosphere. And in order to protect him, a lion came and sat next to him and the whole Shabbos, and protected him from any other animals which would come. It was a special shliach that Hashem sent, that the lion protected him. Another occasion, on one of his travels to Eretz Yisrael, so he was also in a very difficult situation, and there were lions, tigers, and bears everywhere, and then there was one lion which was approaching the chevra, and he approached the lion, and he showed the lion his bris. And as soon as he showed his bris to the lion went running away. And he says, because a person who's shomer bris, then everything is afraid of him. Because he was so kaddish v'tahor and kedushas habris. So as soon as he showed that, then mamash couldn't stand up to him. The Chido was a Talmud of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he actually writes in his Svarim, tremendous shrachim, which, you know, the Chido was going oila. Tremendous, tremendous praises which he had for the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He considered himself a Talmud of his. And Rav Chaim from Sanim, he says that once the Chida came to have Shalosh Shudas Baruch Hashem, I think he was just 1 year by him in his yeshiva. He says he had Shalosh Shudas by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and as soon as Shalosh Shudas was over, he closed the door and he left, and there was a tremendous downpour which came, and he tried to come back inside the house, and he knocked, and the door was locked, and knocking, nothing opened. So finally, Or HaChaim HaKadosh opened the door, and he said, my apologies. He says that as soon as we left, Eliyahu Navi came, and I couldn't let you in while Eliyahu Navi was here. So he had to wait until that meeting was over, and he said that the Chida said that he taught me something that the Eliyahu Navi taught him. Eliyahu Navi said that when you say Mizmor Shir Lim HaShabbos on Friday night, you should say it standing up. That's what he taught. That was one of the teachings Eliyahu taught the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in that encounter. One of the famous stories of Or HaChaim HaKadosh was that there was a Yid who had a tzara, and he came to complain to Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and he said, I have an Eitzah, So he wrote a krittel, and he said, take it to the Kreisel HaMarabi. He wrote it in Ksav Ashuris, and he gave him a bracha. And you should go and to place this into the wall of Lord Chaim. Some say that's where the minhag comes of taking kritlach and putting it into the walls, to the stones of the Kreis HaMarabi. It comes from the Lord Chaim HaKadosh, some say. So he took it in his hand, and he was on his way. And as he was approaching the Kreis, so all of a sudden there was a tremendous wind which came. And like, it took off his hat, and then he was like going to be thrown around, this and that. And he tried grabbing his hat, and all of a sudden the petah got thrown out of his hand. And he didn't have atzlacha in bringing it. But later on it was found in Yerushalayim. And they said that what it said on the kvittel was the following. It said, Achaisi Rayasi Yoinasi Tamasi. My beloved, the different expressions of my beloved, which come from Pasuk and Shashirim. Avakeshcha Barachamim, I beg of you, I ask you should have Rachamim to be Mashpia Parnasa Tzayva to this year, Plani Ben Palani. And he signed his name, Chai Ben Atar. That's what it said on the kvittel. Yeah. It says that one of his travels, it was Erev Shabbos. I needed a place to stay, and he saw that there was a wood chopper who was chopping wood. And with each chop, he would say the Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. Kavod Shabbos Kodesh. He said, "Oh, must be a yid." So he asked him for a place to stay. So he says, "It looked like you're very chashav yid." He took him to the Rav's house. So he was sitting by the Rav's house on Friday night, and the Rav was saying Divrei Torah at the table. And he said something, and the Aruch Haim HaKadosh corrected him on something which he had said. So he didn't say who he was. So he says, "You're the Aruch Haim HaKadosh." He says, "How do you know?" He says, "Because I was learning this Torah in the Masifta Derekiah in the higher base medrash. So they said that this Torah which I'm about to teach you comes from the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. So the fact that you corrected me on it, I know that you're the one who's really the source of this, because in Shemayim they told me that this is the Torah from Aruch Haim HaKadosh." You wouldn't be able to know that to make this correction if not to come back to your family.
Who's that person?
You know how many tzaddikim in the storm there have been over the ages? So many. So we had said that the Rechem HaKadosh didn't have children, and he was married to two women. And when he passed away, they were both became Yavamas. And they cried to him, and they said, "You know, what are we going to do? We're not going to have a parnasa when you pass away." So he says, "No, I have an etzah for you." He says, "My tefillin are kaddish." He says, "You're going to be able to, anybody who wants to wear my tefillin, you're going to take a sum of money from them." And they were mafanis themselves that way. People would come, and they would wear the tefillin as the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, and they would pay, and that's how they made a parnasa. But he warned them. He warned the Yavamas, and he said that if somebody comes and they have a hesach hadas, which means that they think something not kadosh or tahar at the time that they're wearing the tefillin, so then it's going to lose its kedusha. And so anybody who would wear the tefillin, they were forewarned, and they were put in ad kedikach, that the almanas used to take the people who would wear the tefillin and put them in a private room where nobody would be able to come in, so that they would only be able to focus on what they were davening. And then it happened one day that there was a certain businessman who was wearing the tefillin. And then one of his partners came, and he had a very urgent matter, and there was nobody protecting the door, and he came in and he blurted out the news, and he was wearing the tefillin, and all of a sudden he was middle of davening, he felt the vacus. Mamash nothing. So they opened up the tefillin, and all the letters were left the parchment. It was mamash gone. The whole thing was gone. Yeah. Rav Pinchas Karzer was a very big fan. And it was, you know, Talmud of the Bashem Tov HaKadosh, and he himself had a sick relative, a sick son, I think it was, and he was makabel upon himself as a skula for his refuah, that he would learn every day a little bit of Aruch Haim HaKadosh. So he was once traveling. We mentioned the story when we spoke about the son of the Bashem Tov. His name was Rav Tzvi. That in those stories we had pointed that, we without going through the whole story, he fell into debt. And Pinchas Karzer knew that this was the reason why he was so tzavrachin. He didn't tell anybody why, but he went and he traveled for a very long time to collect money for Rav Tzvi ben the Bashem Tov HaKadosh. And one of his travels, he came to an inn, and in the inn he saw that there was a very great light, a great aura in the inn. And he looked around and he said, "Where is this light coming from?" He says that from the looks of it, the owner of the inn was a very simple person, and the Rebbetzin was very simple, and he couldn't understand, you know, what's the great light over here, until he looked around and he saw there was a Tehillim and there was a Siddur and there was a Chumash. And he said, what type of Chumash? He said, oh, it's just a basic Chumash with Orach Chaim HaKadosh on it. And in those days, it wasn't so easy to get a hold of it. He says, now I know where the light is coming from in this house, in this inn. It's because of the Perish of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And so he saw the great light of Orach Chaim HaKadosh. He was very, became Dovik to the Sefer as well. He writes in his Sefer, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that it's very well known that the Mashiach, his name is Chaim. That's what he writes. The Mashiach's name is Chaim. And his name was Chaim. So that was suspect that he considered himself perhaps to be Mashiach. The Tzaddikim said that they did say that perhaps the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh who lived at the same time, as we'll see, was the Neshama of Mashiach ben David. And Orach Chaim HaKadosh may have been the Mashiach Mashiach ben Yosef. But Al-Kopanim, later on in his Sefer, he writes that another prat about Mashiach, aside from the fact that his name is Chaim, that he will also be born in Eretz Yisrael. So Baruch Shem and Shnesen, who maybe we'll speak about, and he was the Rosh Hashiva of Chabin, a very great tzaddik who lived recently, he said that in order to disqualify himself, the people should think he's Mashiach, he wrote that line, that the Mashiach is born in Eretz Yisrael, because he was not born in Eretz Yisrael. So in order to disqualify himself, he wrote that. He wrote that. As I mentioned, so he was mechaber a number of svarim. The most notable, of course, are Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And he writes in the introduction to that sefer, to his sefer, that that writing the sefer came at a tremendous cost. It wasn't like he had a lot of time, and no, as when his father-in-law passed, he had tremendous tzaras. He suffered a lot in his life, and he said that when he wrote this, he was the rav of a town. It could have been he was in Mitzrayim, he says, and he said at the time I used to give 2 shurim a day, maybe even 3 shurim a day. He writes. And I was very involved with Ba'iske Tzarchi Tzibar. And the most I would write a week, I'd have to spend on the Sefer was 5 or 6 hours a week. That's how long it took him to. His commitment to the writing of the Sefer Orach Chaim HaKadosh came with tremendous Mesiras Nefesh to write the Sefer. When he was the Rav in Morocco, so he convinced the townspeople to work only 3 days a week. And he promised them, gave them haftacha, that in 3 days they'll be able to make as much parnasa as they make in 6 days. The kachava. But when he left the town, so over the course of time, they forgot about that takana that he had made in the town, and they went back to working 6 days a week, but they saw that they didn't make any more than they would make in those 3 days. That's the haftacha of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. So, as is well known, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh wanted to travel to Eretz Yisrael to meet the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And the Baal Shem Tov had said, and this is one of the reasons why the Orach Chaim HaKadosh is held in such great esteem by the Chassidim, is because of these comments of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, but the Chidah brings it. The Chidah brings it that the Baal Shem Tov said great things about Orach Chaim HaKadosh. That's the reason why he had such great people respected him so much. But the Baal Shem Tov had said, and this is brought down from the Kamarna, who was only 2 generations after the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So he said that once the Baal Shem Tov had said that the neshama of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh comes from the ruach of David HaMelech, and the Baal Shem Tov came from the nefesh of David HaMelech. So they were like brothers in the roots, nefesh and the ruach of David HaMelech. And the Baal Shem Tov said that every night the Orach Chaim HaKadosh hears Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rav Kedusha Yesh Alechta, it's impossible to write down the Kedusha of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. And he's Miyor de HaMerkava. He is from those who are part of the Merkava. He's Megale Neshamas and Madrigas Ruach HaKadosh Behemes. And he wanted to go meet the Orachem HaKadosh. Because he felt that if he would meet the Orachem HaKadosh, he could bring the Mashiach. So he sent his brother-in-law, who lived in Eretz Yisrael, to ask the Orachem HaKadosh if he should come. So the Orachem HaKadosh told Rav Gershon Kitover, who was the brother-in-law of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that to tell the Baal Shem Tov that if he decides that he wants to come, only if he's able to see my demus, my tavnis, if he sees my image in the oilim esol yoinim, every single one of my avarim, then he should come see me. But if he can't see me in the higher oilim, if he can't see my koyim mishlema, he shouldn't come. That was his message for the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That was the barometer, basically, whether you should come see him or not. So it never made its way to the Baal Shem Tov, this message. And the Baal Shem Tov later had said that he did not see the full image of the Aruch HaMakadosh. He only saw his heels. Couldn't see the whole image of the Aruch HaMakadosh. So the Baal Shem Tov never got the message, and he traveled on his way to Eretz Yisrael. And stories about his traveling there, he stopped in the city of Istanbul for Pesach, and there was redifus against him because he'd been making nisim there. And so he was kicked out, and he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael. And on the boat, the Mamish, there was winds and crazy things happened. His daughter was thrown off the boat, and the boat capsized, and basically he lost all of his madrigas. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't daven, he couldn't learn, he forgot the aleph beis, everything. The satan threw everything at him that he shouldn't make it to Orachem HaKadosh. So he was drowning in the water, and he made a tefillah, and he said, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael. And then his Rebbe, Achi HaShilani, the Navi, basically made a nace for him, and he took him back to the shores of Istanbul. And then he traveled back to his home, and he never made his way to Eretz Yisrael. So the ptira of the Orachem HaKadosh, you know, the Baal Shem Tov was doing Shalosh Shudis, and in the middle of Shalosh Shudis, he said, Kavaneh Maravi, that the Western light is that God's been extinguished. And nobody knew what the Baal Shem Tov was talking about. And then later they found out that at that time, the Orachem HaKadosh passed away, Shal Shudis, Rav the Raven. So they asked the Baal Shem Tov, how did he know? Right? So he asked him, how did he know? So he said, because there's a Kavana when it comes to Netilas Yadayim, that only one Tzaddik of the generation knows that Kavana, and that was Orachem HaKadosh. But I saw that I was washing for Shal Shudis, that I knew that Kavana. So I knew that he had passed away, because it wouldn't have been shaykh for me to know that Kavana, if not for the passing of Orachem HaKadosh. We'll conclude with this. So two last things. When Hitler Yimach Shamayim was trying to make his way into Yerushalayim, and he had said that he's going to come into Yerushalayim in 24 hours. So of course there was a huge rash in Eretz Yisrael and in Yerushalayim, and they declared that it was the yortzeit of the Orachem HaKadosh when that day was going to be, and they declared a Yom Tefillah at the kever of the Orachem HaKadosh, and 10,000 people gathered there at his kever on that day, and amongst them were very great tzaddikim at the time, and one of them was, as we had spoken about, the Hoysi Atner, that he was there, and there was a tremendous hisiris and hisrakshus which took place, as you can imagine. And the Rebbe from Shomer Munim said that after the tefillahs were over, he saw the Hosiatner turned around, that he had a smile on his face. So he asked the Rebbe, he said, why are you smiling? He says, because nothing's going to happen. All the tefillahs have been eskavim. I said, how do you know? He says, because when I looked at the tzion after the tefillahs, I saw the Shem Havaya very clearly over the tzion in beautiful colors. And I knew the fact that I saw the Shem HaKadosh by the tzion, and these beautiful colors, that the tefillahs have been eskavim v'kachava. There was a whole nace which took place and never made his way, as you all know, and never made his way into Eretz Yisrael. Orachem HaKadosh, so before his ptira, so he had said that he put on, a week before he passed away, he put on his nicest clothes, and he told the Talmidim, let's go, we're going to go greet Mashiach now. And after a short time, he took off his clothes and he was very heartbroken. So he says that at the time that I had said that, the world was like, it was so close to Mashiach coming. But the world was like mechsa al mechsa, as Chazal say. It was like half and half. But there was a Yid in Istanbul who did a very big Avera, and by doing so, he was Machriya Kol Ha'el Makaf Chayva. And that stopped the Mashiach from coming. When it was Mamish so close, he was ready to greet the Mashiach, the Rechem HaKadosh. Because of that one Avera, Mamish turned everything around. So you never know. You'd never know. And it's a Chazal say, you'd never know. The Chazal always see the world as Mechsa Mechsa, and everything which we do could be Machriya Lakaf Chayva Lakaf Chayva. One of the greatest. Amen.